Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. My name's Alex Newell, I'm your host and GM, and with me today I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Munro.
James Ross.
And we're continuing playing our extended Pathfinder campaign. Everyone tell me a little bit about your characters, just to get everyone up to speed quickly.
I'm Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, a posh idiot who likes hitting things in a flashy way.
Mm-hmm. And pushing pianos around.
My arch nemesis, Ball Furniture!
I am playing Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan, the halfling sorcerer, and if last session anything to go by, also a ninja.
Oh, totally a ninja.
I'm Zulf Smith, cleric of Poseidon. Weedy puller-upper and likely to burn to death next round.
I am Sasha Rackett, who likes appraising antiques and jumping on people and stabbing them in the head.
Is that her hobby?
That's
the pawnbroking business has gotten very rough in the recession.
You really need two jobs to make it.
Okay, so last time, obviously, the simulacrum was apparently stolen. There were people dying all over the place and falling and pain and misery and fire and holes in the ground. And you've managed to save one diplomat, find another one who fell into a hole and may be able to still rescue, and rescue another one who's unconscious. There's fire spreading in the corner. Byron's still unconscious with Colgate tending to him. And Sasha is now currently sneaking down a tunnel.
That's Edison's body, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Sasha is currently heading down after the servant who managed to escape first with that folder, and the one who escaped having narrowly dodged a dagger into the top of the head, and leaving his friend behind who's underneath a piano. We're still in combat time, so it's the start of a new round, as far as I am aware. So, Hamid, you are up.
The fire spreads.
Oh,
yeah. Does
good
it spread
boy.
At the beginning or the end?
No, I spread it at the end of the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Phew! next round, it's spreading and burning all of you.
Yes, unless we move.
Well, no, not yet. You know what's a fun thing to remember? They're not moving and the fire is.
Yeah.
Byron and Colgate, you may want to pay attention to that. So, what are you doing, Hamid?
I'm trying to decide whether to run down the dark tunnel after Sasha or go and help the French diplomat who fell through the ceiling earlier.
You tell me.
I'm going to go and help the French diplomat, but I'm going to do it quickly.
Okay. How are you doing so?
I'm going to run across the wine cellar room and just... see.
You're still in initiative order, so I'm still going to get you moving the squares.
I just don't know where he is. Or...
he's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I will move. Sorry, that's a double move action to get over to him.
Yep.
And just help him up and make sure he's not dead. I mean, I can't do it much else because I'm not a
sure. you encounter him. He doesn't really seem to be with it anymore. He's going a bit mental. As in, you can see just at a glance, he's probably got two broken legs. But he's conscious. There's not a lot of blood or anything. It's just that his legs are a little bit of an awkward angle, and he's kind of, you know, half up to his neck in wine and stuff.
Where's the fire?
On the ground floor, there isn't. It's awash with wine, so the fire's not spreading.
I didn't want to cause trouble.
So occasionally there are pieces of, like, burning timber and stuff will be dropping down and splashing, but it's not actually catching down there.
Wine is not on the wall.
No, it's not.
I will...
Which is why it's not on fire.
We were in the spirits.
Oh, thank God you're not in the vodka salon.
I probably don't know enough not to drag him. So I'm going to drag him towards the safer side of the room.
Hey, first aid, get everyone out of immediate danger before you try and look after him. That's a good point.
I don't have a move left for this.
Sure, but you're...
Term,
you're...
But I'll just keep his head above water.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wine. So as he's falling down, like, oh, this is delicious. Really, it doesn't hurt as much as you'd think. Fine.
Stuff happens that we aren't aware of. Bertie.
I think now that diplomat has been pulled out of immediate danger, I'm going to run towards Byron.
Sure.
I say out of immediate danger.
The fire is about to spread onto the squares that you're currently stood on.
I am with... If you dither at all, I'll gesture kind of go...
Yeah, I was about to say, are you capable of moving a man who isn't going to be... Yeah, okay, fine, cool. In that
the
case,
strength check was because he's hanging.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've got 12 strength. That's enough to drag someone.
Okay, cool.
That's quite a small man.
All right. Lovely.
I was factoring a lot of, like, you having to brace yourself against it on the floor and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, lifting someone up is very different.
Cool. I am going to move in the direction of Byron. Yeah. Do I need to see my whole... everything this turn to get to Byron?
No.
That would be a full double move to get
to
there.
Is that double? Really?
Yeah.
5, 10, 15... Oh, yeah, you got the armour.
Okay. Can I do that and then, like, attempt to talk to Byron or, like, shout at him while I'm moving in that direction?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Byron! Byron! Wake up! I've got some opium! Byron!
The response you get is something akin to...
Really good opium, and a bear is carrying it!
Yeah, he's...
The bear's got a hat!
There's chunks of building in Byron currently, so he may not be in a position to respond.
Am I at this point able to, like, pick up Byron and help move him?
You've used all of your move, but next time you will be able to basically bodily just chuck him over your shoulder.
Okay. Alright. What does Colgate look like at this point?
Colgate looks alright. I mean, he's got kind of superficial stuff. He scuffs and scrapes and stuff. But he's there. He's, you know, sleeves rolled up. He's administering it. In fact, as you come up, he just goes, apply pressure! And carries on with what he's doing.
I apply pressure. Yeah. Oh. I apply pressure. The stakes are really high!
Okay, and so another thing happens that no one's aware of in this room. Boop boop, and the one under the piano continues to be under a piano.
No, he didn't die.
He might be dead, but he's still
under,
under
a piano.
Zolf, you're up.
He may be lying low. It's like, I think I might be fine if I just stay here.
Best case scenario, this is a very dark heart. Sorry, go ahead.
I will drag the man, but
you
at
double
be...
my speed?
So dragging, you'll be moving at half speed.
So double my...
But you can use your full two moves. So you end up moving at your speed, but dragging him.
But can I just check, is your movement speed as fast or faster than the fire spreads?
No, it is double. It's double the speed of fire.
Right.
that's a good superhero thing.
Double the speed of fire.
Okay, so
your movement is 10.
Your movement is 10.
And it's 5.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that is, we can do that.
Well,
math.
Well,
I want to quit with that.
No, it's okay.
It's still pathetic, frankly.
It's pretty bad.
So, you move your full 10?
Yes.
Okay. And Sasha, before the fire. So, Sasha, you're up. You're currently heading down the corridor.
Yeah.
So, for you, it's going to get a bit more descriptive because I don't have a map that's bigger than, like, the world. So, you're currently sneaking down a corridor.
So, it's a corridor. Sorry, because you said that looked like a blasted hole that I'm
calling
through.
It a corridor. I'm misnaming it.
It's a tunnel.
Is it a dugout tunnel?
So, what it appears to be is that it's blown through into what looks to be a neighbouring cellar or something similar. So it is currently moving between boxes. Mm-hmm. So what at first looks like a tunnel, now that you're there, there are actually crates on either side. So someone's probably gone through a warehouse or something similar. Or at least a storage beneath one of the other townhouses. It may even be a cellar for this building. You don't know. But you find yourself with crates on either side, and you're sneaking along quite carefully, and you hear distinctly the sound of a blast further up. And you make it to a T-junction, left or right, basically. Or you could take the time to climb up over the crates.
So can you tell me, could I hear which direction the blast came from?
It sounds like it came from directly in front rather than sort of to one side.
Right. I think that I will climb up on top of the crate.
Okay.
I will be very sneaky as I do that.
Sure.
I don't know if there are...
Yeah, what you'll be doing is a climb check and a stealth check. The stealth check, if you fail it doesn't affect how you can climb or anything.
Yeah.
But the climb check is, if you fail the climb check, you do not successfully climb.
Right.
There is a very cool rogue skill which I like, which... This is going to get really in-depth, so I'll get through it quickly. There is a rogue feat in Pathfinder, which basically says, take a ninja feat, because ninja is a class. Yeah. And of the ninja feats, there is one which gives you a climb speed. Actually, we've played a previous game where you were using a character that had that. So if you really intend to do a lot of climbing, it's actually a decent feat to take, but again, it's only good for climbing.
Well, if... The next place you take us to is a multi-level building with lots of obstacles. Then I will begin to see a pattern in your GMing and possibly take a climb feed to back it up.
You find yourself in a desert.
Yeah.
A salt flat.
Yeah.
But a multi-story.
Oh, yes. Okay, so you start to climb up. So if you give me the climb check.
18 plus 3.
Yeah, you're good. Okay, so basically you start climbing up.
Do I need to do a stealth check?
I'll get you up to the top and then I'll do the stealth check afterwards. So yeah, you're climbing up. It's not especially high. It's maybe sort of 20 feet, so it's right up near the ceiling.
It's quite high.
What I mean though is that it's not like a warehouse. It is underground.
Yeah. More of a ware bungalow.
It's a ware bunker.
Yes,
it's a man who goes out and then when the moon comes out he turns into a large fortified building.
I'm 5 foot and Sasha is a couple of inches higher than that. That's pretty tall still, so good climbing.
It's a decent climb, it's a good job. I mean,
climbing.
Getting an 18 did matter, and if you fell, you hurt yourself.
Oh, gosh, okay.
So you get to the top, give me a stealth check now.
Oh, crap, 4 plus 7.
Basically, it is a big climb. There's one period where you grab something that you think is crate. Actually, it's a piece of timber poking out from one of the boxes. It falls, it clatters. Honestly, though, there's quite a lot of noise coming from back there of burning timber and masonry and...
And explosions.
And explosions further ahead. Like, it was a bad stealth check, but I feel like it's not that much of an issue. And you see that there are a few more rows, basically, of crates. The path left and right would have taken you, and it just intersperses like aisles. You can't see the far end of it just because it's not lit. It's getting darker as you move along.
I think that was my move.
That would be your full action. But if you want to, anything else that you want to ask or
anything. Perception check, but then I did that and I heard about the explosion.
Yeah, you didn't hear any footsteps when you did that one.
No, there isn't really anything that I need to do. I'm just climbing through.
Okay, well, now you get to call out your thing.
Hmm.
Fire spreads.
Oh yes.
You've got a catchphrase now.
Apparently.
Shout it
the
out.
The fire spreads.
That fire's already gone.
Oh yeah, the fire's completely swallowed that corner. Goodness me.
Yeah. See, just barely outstripping the fire.
Zolf is just staying ahead of the fire there. What I'm going to do is get a bit more creative now. So the flames are licking up near the ceiling of the actual music hall in that corner that's aflame nearest the doors that you came in. In fact, from the tannoy system that they was using to speak, some sparks go and it just pops. It just bursts from the heat. The ceiling paint is visibly peeling. Flames are licking up against the wall. And there's a very ominous creak coming from that corner. You're suspecting that probably the floor above is going to start wanting to fall in. I mean, looking around... The ceiling has lots of cracks in it, and the occasional small hole. It's not on a comparison to how badly the floor's been damaged. Clearly the blast has been down and up, rather than sort of all around you, and a lot of masonry has been fired up into the ceiling, come back down and brought a little bit of the ceiling with it. So it's not, you don't have like a massive cave, and there's not massive gaping holes in the ceiling leading to the other floors, but there could very well soon be, given the spread of that fire.
Oh dear. Good.
So, Hamid, you're up. You are currently almost... you're sort of surrounded by fire above you.
Yeah.
So looking up, there's like that feet, there's the hole in the ceiling, light coming down, flames licking around all sides, and you're knee-deep in wine. The one part of this that Hamid would actually be okay with.
Is there an exit to this wine cellar?
Yes, the exit to the wine cellar is an equivalent to the doors that you came in via the music hall. Also, I'm afraid there is no other natural exit in. It's like there's one door in, one door out for the cellar.
Yeah.
That tunnel is its own thing. There wasn't any secondary exits to the cellar.
Whoa.
Wouldn't be a problem if you could turn into a dragon.
True story.
It would be other problems.
Oh my god, he's a dragon!
His handshake is now, if anything, too firm.
Whoa now.
The thing is, I want to run after Sasha and help her, but I don't think I can morally abandon this poor injured diplomat.
Then don't.
Also, if she snuck off, aren't you pretty rubbish as leaving?
Halflings are pretty solid, actually. Plus, he's not wearing armor, so he'll be
alright. I'm pretty decent at sneaking.
I mean, she'd outstrip him, but he's no slouch.
At least for the time being.
Yeah.
At level 1, I'm nearly as good as her. By level 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So, keeping it moving. What are you doing, Brim?
I am going to drag this poor diplomat towards the door.
Okay. You get to move. It basically, you're moving half your move speed,
yep.
So if you use both of your moves, you move your move speed.
Yep.
So, do so. Basically, move yourself just to keep track. So Hamid has basically been dragging this French diplomat, who, again, he's not really coherent. Do you speak French?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a few swear words in there, but he's not being particularly coherent.
I'll mutter some reassuring platitudes.
Mutter them.
In French.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
don't
Hamid's,
worry, it's going to be fine.
Hamid's,
you'll be okay.
Hamid's one turn away from getting sort of to the doors of the cellar.
Of the roof that's on fire.
The roof is on fire. Literally, you are all gonna die. So you hear footsteps and see the second one that got away is basically sneaking amongst the crates. He's not looking up. He's assuming someone's on his level. He's at the final row of crates before what looks like a door out, or something similar.
Are there 3 hours of crates?
Yeah. And you basically see him. He's being really careful because he's expecting at any moment you to come around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got another flask in hand,
mm-hmm.
but he's not looking up.
Yes.
Bertie, you're up.
Okay. Are there any other entrances or exits to this big hall, particularly against this side of the wall?
There may be behind curtains in the stage. The curtains at the stage have been pulled aside,
okay.
But they're not fully exposed, so
okay.
You don't.
And are there windows?
Yeah, that was my next question.
There are high windows. The windows are 10 foot off the floor, and they have the curtains closed, which have gone.
I'm not going to throw Byron
on this,
through a window.
On the side,
a burning window.
On the side that Byron's at,
yeah.
There are no burning windows. The flames haven't caught here.
Okay.
On the side that Zolf is nearest to, all of the curtains are aflame. Mm. So
they're 10 foot up, right, these
windows? They're 10 foot up. Like,
okay.
You would be doing a pretty formidable strength check to literally pick Byron, of all people,
yeah.
Up, hold him over your head, and then double arm throw him up. Out through a window and
like
down.
A big drunk beach.
I don't think that's
going
to be
very helpful.
That's
not particularly feasible.
Okay, in that case, in terms of the stage, are there any? Presumably, there's a natural way up to the stage. Is there like
yes.
a staircase?
There is a staircase right up against the back wall, which you could go up.
Just on that side, or on the other side as well.
Both sides.
Okay, cool. Lovely. In that case, I think irrespective. I would normally check with Colgate to see if he's clearly the more medically experienced of the two of us. I would normally ask him whether we should move him, but the fire is coming in quite quickly, so
just,
I think I'm
just
going to
say
pick
what
him
you
up.
Do.
So Bertie picks up Byron, pushes Colgate to one side and just moves off around the side of the crater as fast as he can in that direction.
So if you move one move speed because he's dragging a body, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Bryn's okay to move that and do the maths. Meanwhile, I'm going to keep it moving. Something happens that you can't see or hear. Zolf, you're up.
Okay. I have remembered something.
Go for it.
That floating disc isn't gone.
Yeah.
And it follows me. Now, although although it can't fly, it could probably have gone or around the hole to get to me. I'm not sure exactly how floating discs work.
Do you have to waste part of your actions controlling it?
No.
And how many rounds have we had? Because it lasts 10 rounds with battle.
It's not been 10 yet.
Quite a lot.
Not since he cast it. I think we're... I'd have to go back and listen, actually. Yeah. I don't know. I should have been keeping track. In fairness, actually, I say I should. When you have an effect that has a number of rounds, it is your responsibility to keep track of. I have to keep track of all the environmental factors, which I'm terrible at, we've established with the fire, and all of the NPCs.
As far as I'm aware, it's been 6 rounds.
Okay.
6 or 7, I would
say. So here's the thing, is for future reference, if a negative or a positive effect is happening, you guys have to keep track of what's affecting you.
Sure.
If you have a bonus, so let's say that Bryn is offering other people while he's got a spell active a bonus to +1, mm-hmm. it's his responsibility to remind you guys. Technically, if I was an amazing GM, I'd be able to keep track of all of this, but I'm not. Mm. So you're going to have to do a bit of the maths yourself.
No.
Honesty is really a sign of power and strength, Alex. All of us believe in you. Because you tell us that we shouldn't believe you.
I'm
very impressed by
you. I'm going to tell my mum that. And then make her say it.
So, no, it doesn't cost me. It just kind of follows me around, unless otherwise collected. 5 foot.
So what are you thinking? I feel like you're leading towards something.
Okay, so basically I'm going to pick up the diplomat, right? And I'm going to jump down that hole. Because it's longer... The other option is I jump down that hole, and that hole is further away than this hole.
Oh, so you could stand on the disc and then get the disc to gently...
I'm going to put the diplomat on the disc and get it to follow me down.
But you're going to take the sort of however many feet drop?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. That's good.
You said it was about 30-foot drop.
It varies between sort of 30 and 20. There's like hunks of masonry and stuff that are messing around with it. Okay, in which case then you...
So bundle the diplomat onto the disc.
Yep. What's the falling rate of the disc? In fact, because it's currently over the sort of edge of the floor.
It isn't mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's designed for this eventuality.
I'm going to be honest, it may plummet exactly as fast as if...
But then if it came to 3 feet above the ground, it'd probably have a bit
it's
of...
It's 3 feet less, but it's not going to be...
My thinking is I put him on the disc, hold on to the disc, and jump with the disc, so that I'm effectively holding him, but there might be some extra cushionage from the disc attempting to keep above them.
All right, I'll...
I don't know how it works, because I've not used it in this... Like, as a cleric, I haven't used it for this yet, so
I need
I'm
to do some more research on that, because these are quite... specific scenarios for it. I'll have to do a bit more research. I'll go with it for now. But you're going to be taking extra damage because you're basically taking his full damage minus a bit for the disc and your own.
I will be as surprised as you by the in character as you by the effects of this. So,
go for it.
We're experimenting. Yay.
So you don't need to roll on acrobatics. What we do need to do is find out how much damage you take.
Okay. Do I not get any attempt to try and lessen
you
the?
You can do an acrobatics. What you can't do is you can't do an acrobatics whilst holding a disc with an unconscious person.
How about fortitude save?
You may need to do that to stop yourself dying.
Yeah.
That's fair. I am just going to look up now the specifics for fall damage.
So I'm a cleric of channel energy.
It's been a while since I said it, by the way. A lot of the time what we're doing is we're using the Pathfinder SRD, d20pfsrd.com, which is the open source for all of these rules, so you can follow it online. So I'm currently just looking up the environmental effect for falling. Yep. So you're going to be taking... Technically, you're going to be taking 6d6 because you're trying to take his fall damage on top of your own. I can mediate that to a 5d6. You
that
haven't yet taken the jump.
Straight up kill
it me. Is 1d6 per 10 feet fallen. It's just that the first d6 is ignored unless it is into a bigger fall.
I move instead.
For the listeners, it's realizing that he could be potentially losing more than 3 times his hit points in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I wasn't going to tell you no. But I was going to give you an out when I told you how much damage you would be taking.
That's fair.
Sasha, you're currently at the top of some crates, seeing an enemy sneaking towards a door.
If I was to try and jump from rung to rung, would that? Is it plausible that I could, given that he's drawn it, it's very narrow alleys, quite a lot of acrobatic skill, is the idea of doing those two jumps and then jumping down and stabbing him in the head a possibility? Or is that...
No. You could get to him.
Yeah.
But you would not be able to get to him and do an attack. You could be directly above him.
Would I still be sneaking?
It would be possible for you to both get to him and sneaking. You could not get to him and attack him, or get to him and sneak and attack. You can get to him, and you can do it sneakily, but that's as far as you can
go. Okay, I'm going to try and be positioned
there.
First that's my first. Intention.
First things first, then.
Yeah.
Give me two acrobatics rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So first one.
Ooh.
What's your modifier, though? It's quite
seven.
Big.
Seven. So that's 13.
That's fine.
Okay.
And again.
Nine. Oh, no, wait. Ten.
Ten?
Yeah.
You will make it to the other set of crates, but you're no longer on top. You basically landed in a sort of climb stance.
Okay.
So you are not going to be able to go further than that now.
That's fine.
Give me a stealth check to see whether he heard your faffy or not. You'll be taking a penalty for failing the second acrobatics check. No, he doesn't know you that.
Yeah, 17 plus 7.
At level 1, you're rolling a 17 plus your 7. You're well into the 20s. Yeah. It's like watching someone throw silly putty at a window. It just sticks silently, moulded to the surface.
That seems, but it ties in completely with my backstory.
Yeah.
Like being like, I'm not here. No one hear me. Yeah.
Okay, so, fire spreads. We need to hurry up, otherwise we're going to have three sessions of just combat, basically. Okay. Hamid, you're up. You open the door. It's not locked. And there are stairs leading up in a stone-lined passageway. I'm happy to just basically take you out of combat order.
I think that's best. I'm going to start calling for help as well, because I'm anticipating there might still be servants around in this section.
Okay, cool. Good turn. Quick, simple. That guy, the one that you are sneaking up after,
mm-hmm.
he basically goes through the door unaware of you.
Mm-hmm.
You see him go through the door, leave it open, and go to the right.
So I
wouldn't bother, honestly. It's going to get more descriptive than needing to be on a battle map at this point. And Bertie.
Hello. I think I continue to move with Byron and Colgate in the direction of going back behind the stage and out as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Zolf, presumably you're carrying on with your moves.
Yeah. Which means I can do
okay.
that.
I'm now looking at this board, and what I'm seeing is Hamid's out of the situation calling for help, and help is coming. Zolf is outstripping the fire, which is spreading, and making it
only
to
just.
The stage, as is Bertie with both Colgate and Byron. And Sasha is chasing in a completely different part of the scenario.
I take it this diplomat here has kind of...
Yeah, he's gone off on his own.
The last thing I will do, just before I drop out of combat time,
uh-huh.
is cast Message.
Okay, who are you casting it to?
Bertie, I know. He's one of
the
best.
It's a person that you know?
It allows us... to just talk to each other quickly.
So you have a walkie-talkie with Bertie?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
I've got out of the wine cellar underneath. I've got the French diplomat with me. How's everyone up there?
Oh, couldn't be better. Oh, lovely. No, we're in quite bad shape. It's really very bad. Lot of fire.
Yes, I was there a second ago. I mean...
There's still fire. Not gone anywhere. Yes, oh no, we have Byron, who's in a very bad way, and Mr. Colgate, and I believe Zolf is on the other side of the stage taking some foreign fellow.
Do you guys have a way out?
I think we're going through the back of the stage.
Good,
from
good.
There, not sure.
Sasha headed out through the tunnel chasing the people who did this. I had to help the diplomat.
Okay. You guys, I'm going to drop out of combat time now because you pretty much got this scenario licked. So, by the way, this counts as a high XP success for you guys. You rescued all of the people that you were responsible to rescue, even when I thought you'd lost the Frenchman. And you're still in chase, so yeah, that's a success. Yeah, you make it up onto the stage, and there is basically a stage door. You manage to head out, and the first thing that you encounter are a couple of servants carrying like buckets of sand and water.
That's not enough for that fire.
Yeah, right. Basically, they help you out. They pull you into a side room. It looks to be some kind of a basic dressing room. Nothing shit fancy. They poke their heads in with their buckets. Look at what is now a blazing inferno that's 50 feet across. Rapidly go pale, close the door, and start leading you out towards basically outside of the grounds. I am now going to cut to Sasha exclusively, and then we'll reconvene with you guys afterwards. So, you are chasing the one that got away, basically.
Second one who got away.
Second one who got away, true. So, you are sneaking up on him. And if you'll wait with me one second, we're going to take a bit of a break, and then we'll get back here in a couple of minutes.
Hello there. Pre-recorded James Ross here. I love what you've done with your hair. Have you been working out lately? God, you look hench. Well, I'm not featuring in the Rusty Quill podcast. I'm a comedian. If you're anything like me, and I certainly am, then you are sick, sick of terrible comedy nights. They're terrible. By definition, that's not very good. So I've launched a new one, Quantum Leopard. Second Saturday of the month at the Rag Factory off London's Brick Lane. I pick the acts, and I have great taste in acts. No racism, sexism, classism, or homophobia, and no picking on the audience. It's a fluffy night for lovely people only. And if anyone's not lovely, I'll murder them and leave them in a bin. I've got faith in my acts and faith in my audience. Pay what you think the show is worth, and it's bring your own booze because I'm incredibly cheap. Suitable for children of all ages, provided those ages are all definitely over 18. Look us up on Facebook because proper websites are surprisingly difficult and expensive. Quantum Leopard, like the smallest possible leopard.
And welcome back. So, yes, Sasha, you are chasing one of the servants who's rapidly getting rid of his servant costume as he goes, a pair of sort of pants to the side and something else. He's not trying to stay quiet. He's running and ditching stuff on the fly.
Hot.
So there is a naked arsonist. Oh, that's an episode title, isn't it?
The naked arsonist.
It's
not an episode title. That's a BBC Two pitch.
Right there. I think it's more Channel 4.
Yeah.
It's kind of half like country comedy and half like really gritty crime drama.
Wait, so imagine you're saying The Wire crossed with Emmerdale?
I reckon a Midsummer Murders spin-off, Midsummer Arson. Yeah.
So you're chasing
the old ladies.
You're chasing one of the servants.
Yep.
He is basically, it's gone into what looks like another storage room, quite generic.
Right.
And he's running off to the right-hand side, straight towards another blown hole in the wall. Yeah, they've
blown a lot of holes in walls.
Yeah. And he's powering towards that. Sort of describe in more general details what you're doing.
Right now, I'm holding on to essentially the top of a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 20 feet high, and I'm only 5 foot. Mm-hmm. So, realizing that he's dashed through that door, I will drop down to the ground and go around the bookcase rather than hauling myself up. Sneakily put my head around the corner because I guess that I wouldn't be able to see him laying it across that room until I'd seen him go. Then again, sneak over to the hole. My plan right now is not to engage.
Mm-hmm.
So I am perception checking whenever I have the opportunity.
Sure. So, actually, give me another perception check.
It's 21.
21? Yeah, solid. So you see him picking his way across the wall, which was clearly blown inwards, by the way. And so they didn't blow in from that building.
Mm-hmm.
They've blown in from another one, gone through potentially a second building, or the first one. It's hard to tell if you've left the townhouse sort of compound yet.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do see is the first one, who had left with the folder, sort of pokes his head out and gestures to the first guy And then the first guy steps through.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I cross that room.
And go to the hole?
I go to the hole, but I'm listening again to sort of check. I want to know if there's anyone around that corner before I go through it.
As you are stepping closer and listening out, you hear...
Okay, I run back to the
and
place.
There's a big boom. Yeah.
12 plus, what do I use for a reflex?
It's actually its own thing, so it'll be up here at the top, five. Which should be massive for
so,
you.
Yeah, 5, so 5 plus 12, 17.
17, yeah.
Do I dodge out of the way?
Yeah.
Right.
There's another explosion.
Yep.
Pieces of shrapnel flying past you.
Jump, dodge, kick, spin!
Yeah, just crazy. And
walk away on my hand!
Making tea with my feet whilst I do it. Basically, what looks like the piece of flooring that was holding up that hole just collapses down, with bringing a chunk of ceiling with it, and they just seal the tunnel that he ducked it out through. Just... you're kind of wafting dust out of your face. It's hard to see what's going on. And then basically it seems like it wasn't a very big explosion, but the guy who made it out first has clearly been... blowing an alternate route or something, and rigged this so that when they came through, he could close it behind them.
Right. Okay. Is it still me?
I'm going to stick with you. Okay. And then follow.
So, if you're giving me the scene, is this quite a shallow kind of basement room? I don't know.
Yeah. This
is. Is there the way for me to climb up?
Honestly, this is now just a standard ceilinged room. You've gone from the big tall cellar with the crates to a much lower one. It appears to be an empty cellar. It doesn't even appear to have any storage in. It's a little bit damp and manky.
Is there...
There is, on your right-hand side, is where you've just dodged from the explosion and the ceiling's caved in a bit. The rest of it actually seems quite hardy. It doesn't seem too bad. But what you do see is at the, like, ahead of you, dead ahead, are a set of stairs without a railing. Not particularly far, like just standard cellar stairs leading to a trapdoor.
Since I know that this place is on frickin' fire, that is... Going back the way I came is not a great option. So I'm going to go up those stairs. I'm going to try and look quiet and unthreatening.
Okay.
Given that I think this is probably just normal people's houses.
Sure.
Can emerge from nowhere.
So you are heading up the stairs and you open the trapdoor and we'll cut across to you guys. So, you're led out onto the grounds out front.
Thing I actually do is check the people who I'm with over to make sure none of them are bleeding out.
Yep.
And are any of them?
No. Byron is KO'd but was stabilised by Colgate.
Then I will burn Sanctuary to be a cure light wounds on Byron to earn some brownie points from a rich drunk lord.
Okay. Basically, he's healed up, and the first thing that he sees is you looking down on him. The awkward thing is that cure light wounds will not stop him being drunk. He's very drunk, like slurring drunk. Like he clearly was pretty much falling asleep during the auction. It's apparent, but he appears to at least register you there and gives you sort of a clap on the face, and then kind of subsides again. Not KO'd, like unconscious, but it's the difference between. I don't know if you've ever seen it in real life. It's the difference between sleeping and unconscious. Once you've seen it, it's really obvious. It's like that muscle difference.
I'll turn to Colgate and go, you should be all right now.
Yes, he'll be fine. Thank you very much. I don't know who you are. Thank you.
Zolf.
These other two could probably use some ministrations as well.
Broken legs, diplomat. He gets to summon monster into a cure light wounds.
To explain what he's doing, what Ben's doing, by the way, is one of the things that the clerics have is that they can prepare a bunch of spells for the day, but the thing that makes clerics kind of better than some other classes when it comes to support is at any point they can just go, as useful as it would be to summon a monster, I'm going to use that to heal instead. And it's sort of like you're using the energy or the I suppose it's about the deific favour, you're using it for something else, i.e. healing.
And then there's the unconscious one.
Yes.
So the one with the broken legs, your healing won't restore their legs. You basically are restoring everything else, but it doesn't regain mobility. There's different spells for that, basically. But they're perky just with broken legs.
I will also be using my mundane heal to splint up their legs as best I can.
Give me a heal check for that.
That is 23.
Yeah, you do a really solid job. In fact, I'm going to allow you, there's a moment where, roleplay it, you get to re-break one of them into a straight because it's quite badly done. You get to do the... Yeah, yep. That'll be better.
So, yeah, just calm down. This is going to hurt, but it will be better in the long run, okay?
I'll be reassuring him in French as well. I'll be translating.
En toi, yeah? Deux, trois.
He passes out again. Yep.
And then splits off.
Sure.
We should go and try and find Sasha.
Agreed. Well, she went down...
Well, she would have headed north.
Well, maybe the guards would have, maybe the guards would have seen something if they'd got patrols.
Okay. We'll have to keep to the street level, I guess. But, you know, she could be anywhere. But if we can find her, she might need help.
So, I'll give you a visual description and then jump back to Sasha. So, so you're sort of in, you're in a back garden, basically, for this building. And looking out, you can see plumes of smoke going up. It's clear that, like, the building's going up. And it's a central city building. So, A, it's very expensive, and B, lots of people don't want that to happen. You can hear screams and cries from the crowd. You don't know if they're actually being directly affected or if it's just, you know, crowds being crowds. But clearly a large crowd is going to make it hard for any kind of fire crews to make it in time to really save anything. Cutting back to Sasha.
Mm-hmm. Popped my head up.
You open the trap.
Oh yeah, open the trap. Didn't pop my head up because I'm a wise...
You're clever.
Ex-antique appraiser.
You open the trap. You open the trap door and see a pair of polished heels and like a suit trousers and what looks like the back of a shop counter. Like you've come up behind. You've not poked your head, you're just sort of looking up, and yeah, you see the heels of someone who looks comparatively well-to-do, unaware that the trap door behind them's open.
Right. Hey, mate, there's a fire. Fire. Did you see? You should probably get out because Edison's manor is on fire. I just managed to climb through.
Oh, goodness, are you okay?
Somehow sound Australian. I don't know why.
Are you okay?
I'm coming from down under.
I'm fine. Oh, God. James. Did I take a wound from that?
I'm pretty certain Bertie's going to be taking psychic damage very soon from all of these puns.
I'm fine, but you should be proper careful because there's can you see? It must be just down the street because I've only come through one basement.
Goodness me. Is there a fire in my basement?
No. There's one in your neighbour's house.
Oh right. Come with me quickly, okay. Quickly. Oh goodness me. He sort of bats the trapdoor down and he comes out around the front of the counter and you're clearly in a very, very upmarket what's it called? People who make suits.
Taylor,
thank you. Yeah. You're clearly in a very upmarket tailor's. There's a sort of half-made suits and a couple of very artfully done mannequins. Mm-hmm. And the guy's been quite fey about it, like very, very delicate and fashionable. He's got lots of ruffs and big big puffy cravats and things, and he's sort of running over to the door. Oh, good evening. Opens the door for you, ushers you through, closes it, and about to run off, runs back, plucks out from his sort of hanky sleeve a key, locks his front door, and then runs off with you to the crowd.
Yeah. He can see, so are we like two doors down?
Yeah, you basically...
So I need to not sound like Sasha, who is actually my drunk voice. So we're out of character. We're two doors down.
Yeah, you're basically, you're a few doors down.
Cheers, mate. Look, see this part. I've got to go find my friends.
Right, yes, thank you.
You might want to like take your stock somewhere safe. You're welcome.
He turns around. thank you. I'm sure I've got a copper on me.
Thanks.
He literally hands over like a few coppers.
Thanks for the copper, mate.
Right. And then he just runs off back to his shop, faffs to get the key, opens it, and goes in.
Enjoy my penny suite, mate.
And you see him like through the shop window, picking up random plucks of cloth, holding it, dropping it, changing what he's doing, and just faffing enormously. It's quite clear from where you stood, though, that whilst the Edison's house is ablaze, it's sort of marked by there is an alleyway between this shop and his that like the fire's not going to be jumping across.
He hasn't noticed that I must have gone through more than one cellar. Though.
No, he's basically just heard there's a fire next door and he's gone.
I think I use an entire move thing to roll my eyes.
Okay, so we cut back to you guys in the garden with the thing going aflame and Zolf has just done all of his healing. What happens?
Right. So...
We're not going to find Sasha?
Yes, we should... Yeah, we should find her.
She went north. Why don't you stay here with the injured? If I take that street and you take that street, but we can come back here if one of us finds her.
I'll see if I can find the sergeant and see if we can get some of the other people out there before the...
That's a good idea.
...falls in.
Very well, gentlemen! And then we proceed in various directions. So yeah, sure. Anyway, so look at Sasha.
I'll fluff us a bit. Obviously, I'm assuming that you are going to be heading back to
the front door. Yeah,
sure. Let's, plucking out of a hat, Bertie happens to be heading to the front door with Hamid heading sort of due north, so heading more like sort of via back gardens and so on. And then Zolf is sort of circling around. So Bertie's the first one to see Sasha working her way through.
Does he see me?
Might get a perception check because there's a big panicked crowd.
8 minus 1 is
you're
7.
You're so bad at this!
You're a woman?
Bertie doesn't see anything, but you are working your way through a crowd who are rushing in the opposite direction, funnily enough.
I do have crowd dodging.
Yeah, normally I'd be getting people to sort of make some rolls to see if it slows them down, it's literally your thing.
Yeah.
So you're good. you're moving through and you're getting through to the front gate, which is ajar. Funnily enough, no one's trying to get to the house anymore. The front is still okay and the left-hand side's all right, but the right-hand side is like ablaze. And because it was the side that's nearest the street that was sort of on fire, like the front half of it is aflame. And in order to get to her, Bertie will have sort of been shielding himself with his shield against the fire to come back round to the front.
Right, so he's heading towards the fire.
So he's... No,
and
he's
coming up behind him.
So he's come round the fire on the outside and has basically come to the front gate. You are on the crowd side of the front gate working your way through to the front gate, and he's just sort of stood there looking, going, "What does it mean? There's a lot of people." And taking the moment to go, "Is that Sasha?" Look for like 3 minutes. No.
Perception check. No, that's a man. Yeah. No, that's a night elf.
That's three small children in an overcoat.
Okay, so basically it's on you. If you choose to approach him, it's fine. If you choose to disappear forever, he will never know.
I'd stand right next to him and I'm peering into the crowd trying to work out what he's looking at. What?
I'm going to get you guys to roleplay this, by the way. Yeah. I'm just curious.
Woman! Woman! Stealthy woman!
There isn't much for me to roleplay because I'm just standing there quietly, like looking around me like, what woman, mate? What are you
bellowing overhead. Stealthy woman! Oh, there you are. Hello.
And what woman are you looking for?
You!
Oh!
Probably. Okay. Yes, yes. It is you. Well done. Good.
Where's your mate?
Oh, he went the other way looking for you.
Right, okay. Any way that you could contact him? Maybe a magical one?
You still have the walkie-talkie thing active.
Oh, and Hamid found her.
To spell out for listeners, the way that James simulates being magically connected with Hamid is putting his hand to his ear like he's a Secret Service agent.
It's actually,
Roger Wilco, it's Bertie. Bertie, all birds are fly.
That's actually my character's attempt to find his own ear, which is itself, is itself a challenge. Yes. Father. Yes.
Okay, we'll meet back. We'll meet back where Zolf was then.
Very well.
Where the injured people are.
Coming all
right. Figure out what we do next.
Okay.
I'm trying to find Sergeant Haringey.
Sure. So we'll say that you basically run into Haringey almost immediately. He had the sense to know there was an alternate exit.
There are still people in there, and they're in the wine cellar, and the floor might be caving in soon. I think there are some people who might not be there.
No worries, it's fine. We've got it covered. I've got a few guys in there already. You, in the nicest way possible, stay out. You're more useful to me healing people than anything else.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of your group?
They've gone looking for each other. We're going to meet back at the house.
As you say that, basically, everyone happens to be convening on that position.
They're there.
Hello.
That's your ear.
That is my ear.
I'm going to call it at that because I think we're out of time.
I hope we get paid extra for that level of danger. I smile winningly.
Okay, I'm going to call it at that. So, again.
Do we all just turn to the camera and just shrug?
Womp, womp.
Oh, I didn't even steal anything.
I'm so sorry.
You're reformed.
There will be chances.
So you did stab people.
So, well, that...
I failed to stab everyone.
I wouldn't notice if you had.
I'm trying stabbing a lot of people.
People were unaware of you.
I jumped on people from a great height and still missed.
Practice. Practice makes perfect. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap up this episode of The Naked Arsonist. Rusty Quill Gaming. But again, thanks for listening. This was a fun one. I quite like this one.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all again next week. So that's goodbye from me.
And all of us.
Goodbye from us.
Yeah. Aww. Right. Bye all.
Bye.
Bye.
Fare thee well.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Genuinely need to check.
The question is whether he can walk faster than the fire spreads.
I can move. I can move at double the speed of fire. I'll have
to, say that on.
We were helping the civilians.
Thanks for having my back. Thought I'd join this gang so someone had my back, but no.
You ran off, we were helping civilians.
If you take your back very far away from this quite quickly, it's harder to watch it, particularly when I have -1 to perception.
Anyway,
yeah. So we just can't
have a theory with Bertie and the fact that he fails all these perception checks because he's got his helmet on the wrong way. I think he's actually playing Nightmare with a K.
Wait, so can we stand at the back of a room and just go forwards one, turn left? There's an old woman in front
left.
Of you.
The other left.
She's sorry, offering you an apple.
Yeah, it's quite loud.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.